Hello, Honey Ridge listeners and anyone else who's joined us today. Thank you for coming along to our next devotion in the Book of Psalms. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 107, and we're going to be doing an overview of the whole psalm with a focus on the first three quarters of the chapter. If you have your Bible in front of you, you'll see that it's a fairly lengthy chapter. So for the sake of time, I'm not going to read through it all at the beginning and only highlight certain verses as we go through it. If you want to take a moment now just to pause this video and read through the whole chapter fully yourself, please go ahead and do that, and then we can get into it. Okay, right from the start of the psalm, we're given in the first verse the central theme of the chapter. The writer opens with the instructions, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Directly after that, in verses 2 and 3, the author gives the reasons why he can say that the Lord is good and why he can speak of his enduring love. And he refers to a group of people which he calls the redeemed of the Lord. He says these people have been redeemed from the hands of the foe, and they've been gathered together from a scattering all across the world. This is really the basis of how the rest of the psalm is structured and how we're going to look at it today. It paints a picture of rescue by the Lord, followed by a call for those who have been rescued to give thanks to the Lord. The first 32 verses of the psalm are broken down into four sections, and each of them follows the same theme. Each one starts with a description of a group of people who are facing a hopeless and desperate situation. And then in the middle of each section, there is an anchoring verse which is repeated and describes the actions of the people, that is, the redeemed of the Lord, and also the Lord's deliverance. And you can find that repeated in verses 5, verses 13, 19, and 28. Each time it reads, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress." Following that, we get a short description of how the Lord rescued each of these people. And then is another repeated call to give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to men. Perhaps as one way to help us appreciate what we are reading here, I want to link back to another psalm, which I hope you would have had the opportunity to study in detail earlier this week. You should have looked at Psalm chapter 4 on Tuesday, which opens with the words, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer." Here in Psalm 107, we see some lived and worked out examples and evidence of a God who does indeed answer those praying for relief from distress. I mentioned earlier that there were four sections to look at, or four ways described here in which God delivers, and I've summarized them as follows. In verses 4 to 9, we have the Lord who gives directions for those who are lost and desperate. In verses 10 to 16, we have the Lord who redeems those who are facing the consequences of their sin. In verses 17 to 22, we have the Lord who rescues those with broken lives. And in verses 23 to 32, we have the Lord who gives protection to those who face danger. And we're going to look at each one of these in a bit more detail now. The first section talks about those who are lost in a desert, unable to find a place that they can shelter, a place that they can find food and call home. It brings to mind the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years, or when they were in captivity in Babylon, far away from their homeland. When I was stuck in the desert of Sudan last month during lockdown, with all the airports closed and unable to return to Joburg or find a flight home, I could certainly relate to this passage in a very real way. Fortunately, in my case, I had plenty of food and water, and my life was safe, but I have known some of the feeling of being stuck in a desolate, unforgiving place with only a faint chance of getting home. And yet here we are reminded that those who call out to the Lord are indeed rescued. Verse 7 gives us the indication that although these people in the desert did not know the way out themselves, the Lord did know the way. And he takes them by the hand, he gets them onto the right road, and he shows them the way back to a safe and habitable place that they can rest in. It's only natural then that the psalmist should encourage them to give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love in providing a way out for them and relieving their hunger and thirst in the desert. The second section in verse 9 describes those who are redeemed from the consequences of their sinful action. It looks at prisoners sitting in the gloom of a cell, chained and bound or forced into backbreaking work. But the passage is quite clear as to why they are in this situation. Verse 11 says, "They had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High." It's often the case now, and certainly was the case in ancient Israel, that the law of the nation was linked to and based on the law given to us by God in Scripture. And so, for those who have disobeyed the law, it would be expected that they face prison as consequences for their actions, those actions which at the root are indeed sin. It's interesting that God says he subjects them to bitter labor, and it gives us an insight into how God uses the structure of earthly prisons as consequences for sin, and to work about his purposes for bringing those offenders to a point where they realize their only answer and their only hope is to turn to the Lord. It's part of the reason why so many churches will be involved today in some form of prison ministry, because time in prison is a time to reflect on the sin and to be presented with the truth that it is God who redeems, God forgives, and he restores. And here in our chapter today, we see that happening in verses 14 to 16. The Lord lifting them out of the darkness and gloom, breaking the chains that bind them and bringing them back to freedom. Thirdly, we see that God rescues those with broken lives. In verse 17, the writer refers to those who have been rendered sick, injured, unstable, and close to death as a result of their actions and mistakes. One might think of a drug and alcohol addicted homeless man living on the streets, separated from any of his family, unable to find a meal or to even eat anything that is given to him. It's a sorrowful picture, and we're reminded that for those who call to the Lord in their situation, he can indeed heal them simply by the power of his word, restoring them to full life, rescuing them from a certain death in a glorious display of his love and kindness towards them. In the fourth section, I find particular encouragement in the category of people mentioned here, starting in verse 23. Whilst being a sailor on a ship is not something many of us can relate to, we are told that these are merchants, and they are simply going about doing their job, carrying on their ordinary business, much as many of us do today. And yet in the course of their work and daily life, they face a great danger, incredible stress and despair. But this is not a result of any one of their actions, but from a storm which builds up and rocks their ship about, leaving them terrified for their lives. We're told in verse 25 that the Lord spoke and the storm was stirred up. So these sailors only faced this situation because the Lord, in his will, saw it necessary that they should pass through this trial. But once again, they cry out, and we see a God of peace who brings the storm to an end and brings their boat back to a sea of calm and tranquility. I find it such an encouraging reminder to see a picture of God working in the stresses and struggles of people going about their regular business, traveling and trading in the world they live in. For the sake of time, I won't dwell too much on the last 10 verses of the chapter, which look at God depriving those who are wicked and blessing and providing for the needy and the hungry. But rather, I want to focus on the call that each of the redeemed is given to give thanks to the Lord. And how could they not, as they've been lifted out of their lost and broken and dangerous situation and restored to their homes, back to freedom, back to health, and back to safety. It's a testimony to a God who loves them and who hears their cries. And it's the same for us. I love that this chapter has a very real description of God meeting us in a very practical way in our times of need. God indeed uses these situations to show us his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. And it gives us a chance to reflect on and thank the Lord for the ways in which he has helped us and provided for us as we go through life. For those who feel that they are in the middle of a lost and broken place, this passage gives some comfort to know that the Lord does indeed hear you and he loves you. The beauty of the psalm is that it can be applied on two levels. And as we see God help in our earthly struggles, Charles Spurgeon calls these temporal favors, and they are only a shadow of the great work of salvation that God has done. And that is true for every Christian, regardless of their struggles or their prosperity at this point in life. Each one of us who has been redeemed by the Lord was at one point lost in the gloom and despair of prison, bound by our sin, our lives broken and in danger. And yet God has rescued us back to life. He has redeemed and restored us. And we serve a loving God who we can thank and give praise to. Verse 43 closes the psalm in such a beautiful reminder. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Amen.